All right, it's a good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking. This is a program which we look at stories that are, you know, shaping the Namibian discourse. And today's no exceptional. We are sitting in the same, you know, in the same position, dissecting and going deeper. So today is today, and we will look at various stories. One of the good stories that is circulating around, you know, everyone. Before we get to our stories on the paper, we are going to look at several stories in our paper. And I always tell you that, look, you need to get yourself a copy of a paper so that you read word by word, because I cannot, if I read for you, word by word, then that means I'm reading the paper for you. So, and my job here is not to read the newspaper for you. My job is just to tell you, just to help you dissect what certain stories will mean. We talk about the meaning of the story, the gist of the story. So that's what we talk about. But when it comes to reading word by word, I implore you to do so by getting a copy. If you want to get a copy, please just contact us. The number you contact us, just write a WhatsApp message on 08120044. That is the message, that is the number to which you write your WhatsApp message to say, look, I want to be part of the Villager newspaper. And then you will be added. You'll be part of the Villager newspaper. Yes. Now, it is, of course, 6 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. And we continue. One of the stories that is trending is the IMF advising Namibia to cut from its wage, you know, Namibia to cut from its wage bill because of the debt. Namibia is accumulating debt. Namibia owes around 172 billion. That is mostly almost 90% of its GDP. So 172 billion, that is almost 90% of Namibia's GDP, because Namibia's GDP is around 200 billion. So if you owe around 172 billion, that is a lot of money. And tying it into our story today, that Namibia will pay $16 per every $100. Will pay 16%. And so that is to show you that Namibia has debt. The IMF is, you know, the IMF is telling Namibia to reduce its wage bill. Reducing wage bill or cutting down on its wage bill, that means you retrench some people or you cut the salaries of people. Now we look at whose salaries should be cut. Should we come to that point? Because other people are saying, look, the CEO of Parastatals, those CEOs are getting high salaries. And sometimes, to a certain extent that, you know, some are even suggesting that some of them are even paid more than the president herself per annum. So that is also tying into, you know, when state-owned enterprises are urged to live within their means, to live within the resources that are already allocated to them. But it seems that there is no state-owned enterprise that can live within its means, because some state-owned enterprises are not making profit, but the CEOs and the top management are highly paid. There was a story of, you know, Social Security, where cleaners are paid more than teachers. That's a story that was, you know, published, I think it was 3 days ago, which was suggesting that, you know, wages need to be normalized at Social Security there. So, is it possible for Namibia to cut on its wage bill? Is it possible for Namibia to cut on its wage bill when they just increased the remuneration of politicians? And we know that after some times, you know, public servants also are demanding for increment. The other time we were talking about 7% or 10% increment that was demanded for teachers. So, is it possible for the state to cut down on its wage bill? Well, that can be possible, depending on the measures that the Office of the Prime Minister and the Finance, you know, Ministry or the Executive, you know, take. That is to say, we are going to cut down to when it comes to some benefits. But there is also what we call, you know, there will be some resistance, because we talk about IMF's advice here, whether it is an advice or it's an urge, whether it's an advice or it's a command. Is IMF commanding Namibia to cut down on its wage bill? Is it a suggestion? Is it an advice, or is it a command? And we also look at the timing when all this is done. Because the International Monetary Fund is an organization, is an international organization that monitors how your economy is performing. They also have some loans that they can give to you, like what they are doing. They are giving money to Ukraine as in a form of a grant, but it will be paid back. Now, is this a tit for tat? Is it an international tit for tat? Is it an advice? Or is it a command? So how do we connect the dots? When we connect the dot, we'll find out that it could be some tit for tat. You know that they used to say qui pro quo. When you ask a question and somebody asks you a question back, or he wants to give you an answer through a question. But I think when it comes to the International Monetary Fund, is a tit for tat. That Namibia has signed some bilateral agreement with the government of the Republic of China some weeks ago. The president just came from China 2 or 3 weeks ago. So the president has signed some bilateral agreements, economic bilateral agreements with the Chinese government. So is the International Monetary Fund now coming up to sort of, you know, disqualify that bilateral agreement by pointing to the fact that Namibia owes, or Namibia is in debt, is in serious debt. Namibia is in serious debt, or serious debt that needs to be, you know, dealt with, you know, as soon as possible. And the only solution that Namibia has is to cut on the wage bill, which means no more recruiting, no more new, the government should not create new jobs. There must not be new recruits or salary increments because they owe, they need to pay the money. So I'm not that much of an economist. I don't know how to count. I don't know economic mathematics. So, but if you was to pay $16 for every $100, that calls for, that's an alarm, isn't it? That's alarming. That if you have to pay $16 per every $100, that means you pay 16%. And that is high. Yeah, whether that is real or it's some sort of a tit for tat to disqualify this bilateral agreement with the Chinese, it is yet to be seen on how both the government and the IMF is going to behave or continue from here. So, that is going to be determined by a lot of factors. What is the government going to do? Are they going to follow the IMF, Are they going to follow the IMF advice, whether it is an advice or command, or are they going to continue with business as usual? So we'll see to that. But let me just also get into the. There are countries that owe America their debts. America owes up to $31 trillion. They are in fact, deficit of almost $33 trillion. So what is the difference between countries like Japan, United States? These are the countries that are high, that are so much in debt. Their debt has, accumulated. But the International Monetary Fund is not saying anything to those countries, let alone even telling them that, guys, reduce on your military budget. Because the United States military budget is $700 billion, almost going to $1 trillion. That's the military budget of the United States. 700 to 1 trillion. 700 billion to 1 trillion. But the International Monetary Fund is not telling them to minimize or to cut down on their wage bill or military spending because of the debt that they are in. Why is International Monetary Fund different when it comes to African countries? When it comes to African countries, you are told to cut down on your wage bill. You are told to, you are told not to increase salaries or not to create new jobs as a government because you are in debt. But when it comes to other countries, it is not, the International Monetary Fund is not saying anything. What is going on? So what is going on? And you may have a lot of reasons to this. But one of the reasons that could be possible is, one of the possible reasons is that our economies are micro economies, very small economies. That's number one. That our economy, we do not control any international industry. So we do not have international prowess, economic prowess. So that's why our comb will be different, or our brush, we're not going to be painted with the same brush. Because these organizations are not our organizations, and they are not there for our interests. They are there for the interests of their mother countries. So we don't have organizations of our own that are aligned with our interests. We are at the mercy of every organization. One organization in Europe will just jump and say, Namibia is not fit for tourists because of ABCD. And there is nothing you can do because you don't have a voice on an international platform. So that is one thing that is problematic to African countries, especially the global south. It doesn't really have to do with, the African country, even China or Russia. They can also be affected by this. The only difference is that China and Russia have a powerful voice. They may not own this or that international organizations. They don't need to own the International Monetary Fund. But the International Monetary Fund has to mind their mouth when they are talking to China or talking to Russia or talking to India. Because India, Russia, and China, these are key players in the global economy. And that's why if you sanction China, you are causing a flow into the economy. And if you sanction Russia, you bring diarrhea to the oil market or to the entire economy itself. Because this is a player. Just look at a country like Iran. What is going on now? Or when they started bombing Iran on the 28th of February, how oil became expensive. So Iran, India, Russia, China, these countries don't need to control the International Monetary Fund. They just need to be themselves. The International Monetary Fund will mind its language there. Because these guys have a voice. But you can sanction Africa, and the economy will not have any headache, because Africa has no voice. Africa has no capacity. That's why any organization can come here, gray list you, do whatever they want, because you don't have a voice. You don't have any reciprocal power to say, okay, we are going to do reciprocal response. We are going to make a reciprocal, response. What reciprocal response do you have? Now, the U.S., after building a big embassy, they are now moving their visa services to South Africa. And what reciprocal, measures or actions does Namibia have to take? Zero. So what is the big embassy if it cannot, take care of the visas? You still have to travel to South Africa for visas to go to the U.S. It's a unilateral decision that the United States have taken. And Namibia said what? Zero. No international relations ministry a response from the Ministry of International Relations, because they don't have anything to say. What can they say? Even if the U.S. tomorrow decide we are moving all our services to South Africa, what will Namibia say? So now, what is the use of building a magnificent building that cannot give basic services? Because visa, the processing of visa, those are part of basic services that embassies can do internally or inside the country. Now, those services are moved to South Africa, which means you have to spend money to go to South Africa to go and process your visa. And you need to make sure that you go with all the documents required so that you don't go back. So any country can decide. We want a build, because they built a what? They built a base, and you can be attacked, and the command can say, look, don't interfere with internal policies. But what is the use of a base, a military base in our country, if you can't protect us? So all international organizations are serving the interests of their, of where they are coming from. And Africa has no voice. Especially Africa and, you know, Latin America, Latin American countries. Those guys have no voice. So anyone can do anything. Now to even go deeper, the Minister of Tourism, of Environment and Tourism, the Minister of Environment, you know, Forestry and Tourism, some years ago, was threatening to get out of a certain organization. That organization, Namibia and Kenya in Africa, have the highest elephant tusks, the highest stockpile of elephant tusks. And then there was a suggestion that these tusks be sold so that Namibia can make money from it. And that organization in Europe is refusing. That should Namibia go ahead with that, they will blacklist Namibia, you know, as a tourist destination, an international tourist destination. And you know what Namibia did? They obeyed that organization. Very small, insignificant organization in Europe. And telling Namibia how to behave when it comes to its own elephant tusks. So, and then we say we are a child of what? Of the international community. What international community are we a child of? Let's go for a short break. We return and then we continue. I just want you to understand this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Kalau nak tutup ke pena, no kakwadika mbapila opa udidike
yo asina angono nifendera yo mbonu nchungo mbonu mbosho yo upo mwono kundo wacha mwono kumafe mbapile kaya no yo mwoshimaro wamo mwoshimaro wa shumbira ashi kipangilu ashi penya no so mwona nde tina ana wana wangiru pangoto mwoku yeni fangamana ndesi mwopo loga wapamu
nifendera ye gumbo kumvura nengo kandingo shokumvura nzono ahayi ikombelewa nzono ifendera tofendere shashitorongi sehara pehajerero yehara omu ashikerero talivuro kumono okathiringa kukwatera mombele wa kukwatera pombele wanjia shoshu imari wa nzono ahayi ukidida kombele wa ushirongo
kala nakuendela pa mwono programa kusamosha one mba ashivo kumanda afyo titano kukujapon longo ngula fiyo petata longo nambali All right, and we continue. We continue. So Namibia is claiming to apparently be a child of the international community. The international community, which is that? What is that international community that Namibia is a child of? Because that international community does not respect any person's interest, only respect their own interests. So, Namibia must be a stepchild. So that organization in Europe told Namibia that if that was around 2018, if you remember that, Namibia was told straight up that if you go ahead with that, we will blacklist you. We will tell everyone not to come to Namibia, not to consider Namibia a tourist destination. That was to pour water on a minister. You know, to pour water. If you want to know how weak Africa is, if you want to know how weak Africa is, that the entire Africa can be threatened by one European country. One can threaten the entire Africa. So during 2011, when the Libya crisis started, the African Union set up a committee. And they set up a committee to deal with the Libyan crisis. So President Jacob Zuma of South Africa was part of that. Yoweri Museveni of Uganda and many African leaders were part of. And then there was a time when they were in a plane to go to Libya and sort of, you know, solve the issue, because the Libyan issue was an African issue. So the African Union sent a delegation of six presidents. President Jacob Zuma was part of that. And you know what? NATO called NATO told those presidents not to dare land in Libya. They must not dare land in Libya. And you know what? That plane turned back. That plane has to turn back because NATO told them not to land in Libya. And after some weeks, NATO came up with a form that, or the document that countries should sign, African countries, and they signed without looking. They were signing for Libya to be bombed. You know, defenselessly, because that was a no-fly zone you know, document. They all signed it, including the so-called Arab, league members. Because there are countries that are in the Arab League in Africa. Countries like Libya, Morocco, countries like Egypt. They all signed for their member country, for their member, fellow member to be bombed by NATO. If we can do that, then even our talk of beneficiation will only just be but political statements. Because they just finished mining Expo. There was an economist that poured water on the president's quest of, uranium becoming a commodity for electricity. The president, he poured water on that. In fact, the entire mining sector cannot be, of benefit in Namibia. This story is written by David Shombe. You should go and read it. You should go and read it in depth. Now, what the economist is saying is that you don't have a refinery in Namibia. You don't have a processing plant that processes uranium. How do you come to say you want nuclear energy from uranium, which you cannot process in your country? Which means that nuclear will be expensive, because this uranium will be processed somewhere and then you will buy it as processed. You will buy the isotopes or the centrifuges. That is going to be more expensive. So you are going to buy uranium centrifuges, because the centrifuges are the ones that are used to, that are processed in, that are enriched. You are going to buy enriched uranium and then, use it to produce electricity or nuclear power that will be more expensive. Now, when we talk about even gold, we cannot talk about gold beneficiation because we don't have a gold refinery in Namibia. In fact, diamond is also losing value. It's no longer becoming, it is becoming a semi-precious stone now. And like I said the other time, that if we depend on primary, primary products as Africans or as an African economy, what if we start to have synthetic uranium or synthetic lithium? That means it's an abortion to our economy, because our economy depends on primary products. We don't have secondary and tertiary products from our mineral resources. So when we talk about beneficiation, it sometimes just becomes a political statement. Because we are going nowhere as far as, processing those mineral resources into finished products. We are not negotiating properly with the people that are coming to do the mining. because we are supposed to tell the Chinese to say, okay, China, the USAP mine, we can give it to you. But on condition, first of all, you need to set up a plant here that processes those things. You process them here, then you export them as finished products. But China cannot do that because, meaning, if they set that thing up, they must kill part of their own to set this, to set our own up here. They must kill part of their own. So that's where it becomes complicated. But it's negotiation. Before anybody starts any mining, or you say, okay, the mine is there, we will give it to you, but on this condition. And here are the benefits for setting up a plant here, which means you are no longer at least going to pay high tax, because you are setting up this and you are also transferring knowledge to the local people. So it's our negotiation that is also not, not benefiting us. We talk about win-win situation, but is it a win-win situation or is it a lose-win? Are we on a platform where we are all winning? Or are we in a platform where we want, you know, are we in a platform where we are losing? Are we not like a beautiful girl that doesn't know her value? That only enjoys to be called queen, queen, queen. And everybody comes and she benefits nothing. So, and by the time you realize you are used is when other girls come into the market that are more beautiful than you are. And you don't have capacity to compete with them. So, if we are still thinking 36 years down the line, well, you know, science is developing very, very fast. And we might start to see a lot of synthetic, materials. Like we are now seeing synthetic diamonds. What are we going to do? The only hope we have is oil. According to this story, the only hope we have now is oil. But it seems that the government is fighting itself here when it comes to oil, because at the same time, last week they were declaring total decarbonization. How do you talk about total decarbonization when you are talking about oil and gas beneficiation? So, which means there is a disorientation in government. Bank of Namibia is saying this, and then Namibia Planning Commission and the Grand and Namibia Green Hydrogen Project are saying the opposite. So, can you be in reverse and in forward gear at the same time? It seems this is where the government is. The government is confusing everyone. Let's go for a short break and we'll come back. But the government is confusing itself. And then, if you are following very well, you listen to this organization, they say this. This one is saying that. This one is saying this. There is no synergy between the two. Namibia Planning Commission is attending a summit, and they are talking about total decarbonization by 2030. And then Bank of Namibia is also coming up with an oil and gas seminar, and they are talking about preparation for financial sector to prepare themselves for, you know, oil and gas, because otherwise they'll be left behind. Who is listening to all this? This is confusion. You cannot cook meat and jungle oats in the same pot. So you cannot cook meat and jungle oats in the same pot. That is a confused cooking. And in fact, if anybody eats that food, it will bring a lot of problem. Because meat requires you to put soup and spices and, you know, onions and all, and then comes, you know, you jungle oats. Eish. So this is the reason why we don't move forward, because we are disoriented. We are not in one accord.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay, when it comes to development, it seems the government does not have one voice. There are many voices. And that's why, well, it will be difficult. Because what will the government talk about? Maybe at COP, is that COP 30? This year I think there will be COP 30, if not COP 29 or COP 31. At COP 31 there, if anybody from Namibia goes there, you know what they are going to be talking about? They are going to pour water on oil and gas. And then, yeah, we need to deal away. We need to do away with fossil fuel. That's a Namibian person talking. We need to deal away with fossil fuel. Okay? We totally decarbonize. Namibia is on the right path. You know? To totally decarbonize. This is a Namibian official talking. And then, 2 days later, the president is talking about oil and gas beneficiation. Who is, you see, I don't even know how to ask this question. Because you cannot say, you are you are coming up with a campaign to sensitize people against smoking. And you are talking about smoking, how dangerous it is, with a cigar in your mouth. See, you are talking about the danger of smoking, but you have a cigarette on your mouth. You are busy smoking, and you are telling people smoking is dangerous. Do you think serious people will sit listening to you? You are smoking. In fact, you are smelling a combo of brands. Some brands will not even mention here. So sometimes I don't know what brand of water do government officials drink. It is either a brand of water they drink or the type of baptism they were baptized in. One of the two. Because it is very confusing reading NDP6 talking about oil and gas, and then somebody from the same organization that was at the helm of planning and drafting the NDP6 is talking about decarbonizing. That is the reason why, you know, smaller organizations in Europe can command Africa all they want, because Africa is not in order. Africa is not in order. You see, Africa is not in order. That's why any country can command Africa. You see, apparently it is France Africa Summit. What Africa Summit? It's Africa Summit. And then African leaders are there talking, and you give them the chance to speak. You wonder, where are these guys coming from? You know, sometimes it's really embarrassing listening to an African leader speak on an international platform. It's sometimes embarrassing because African leaders seems not to be in sync with the international reality. They seem to be in their own world. That's why in most cases you see when it is a United Nations General Assembly, when it is time for African leaders to speak, certain leaders don't even come, or people start leaving the hall. Because African leaders are not in sync with the international reality. This is what is making it easier for IMF to paint Africa with a different brush. And since Namibia was even told not to do that, you know, Namibian Seal Festival, certain organization in Europe that don't have seal in their sea is complaining that Namibia should not harvest their seal. These are the countries that have eaten up everything that moves. They have eaten up in fact, even their cockroaches. They don't have cockroaches in their country. They have destroyed wildlife completely. And these are the same countries that want to lecture Africa on how to preserve what they do not preserve, what they don't have. So that's why the president of Brazil, when there was wildfire in Brazil, a certain European country wanted to say, okay, take money to manage your wild, you know, we need to give you money to fund so that you can manage your forest. The Brazilian president said, keep your money. You don't have forests, but you want to teach us how to manage what you don't have. Those countries don't have animals. They don't have wild animals. They cannot lecture Africa or Namibia how to take care of what they could not take care of. But because Africa is not in order, Africa will continue to be lectured by everyone. Because Africa refuses to be in order. So until Africa is in order, then Africa will continue to be, you know, to be painted with a different brush. It's a few seconds before 7 o'clock, and we'll go for a short break. We'll be right back to continue. But if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. So IMF is telling Namibia, reduce on your debt. I mean, on your wage bill. Is it possible for Namibia to cut down its wage bill? Or what can Namibia do? Because this, nobody knows whether this is a command from IMF or an advice, but it seems to be very serious because Namibia has 172 billion in debts.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, we come back. It is 2 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. We continue and we still have ample time together. We still have ample time together. So if you want to comment on our first story, in fact, second story even, I've also touched into our, you know, second story on the issues of mines, that these mines can never produce anything tangible as far as the, you know, beneficiation is concerned, because we don't have processing capacity in Namibia. So until we have that, until we say uranium is processed here, lithium is processed here, every mineral, every rare earth you know, material is processed in the country, then that's when we can talk about beneficiation. Because we can decide that, okay, we manufacture medicine from uranium, we manufacture this from that, and we export it to Zambia, we export to Zimbabwe, we export to where? That's when we can talk about that. But if we're only talking about beneficiation without what do we have on the ground, is there anything on the ground? Are we working on something on the ground to make sure that we are? Yes.
Morning, Dr. Franz.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yes.
How was the weekend?
The weekend is fine. We did not do the wrong thing.
Yeah, lucky for you, but mine it was not so good, man.
What
it happened? We lost. It's just that thing, man.
You lost what?
It's not okay. We lost in the cup.
What cup?
We are playing. There's a cup in South Africa, and I'm supporting it just this, and we lost yesterday.
Oh. Me, I was supporting certain teams, but I decided let me just quit. Let me not disappoint myself anymore.
So you don't. You're staying away from soccer now.
Yeah, because my teams were not performing, so I just quit everything.
Aha.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Master Franz, I think sometimes when it comes to this bilateral agreement, as Africans, we need to start looking at what's our benefit. Because sometimes I think we are signing here and there and there, but at the end of the day, we know we are not getting anything. Yeah. So I think it's a hard time as Africans. We must start negotiating to something which we know is going to benefit our people.
Yeah,
because if you look today in the one of the news, today newspaper, we already like give a green light to what? Phosphate. And I'm telling you, phosphate, a lot of people are complaining about it. And as individual, like me, myself, I think it was not worth it. Because remember, even that much longer we are getting, it's okay. We're still eating it. But phosphate, country which have been doing it, that they are even complaining that, no, it's really destroying the inhabitant of the fish. And the fish are going away to find it somewhere else. Like now, if we start with that, we may destroying the what? The fishermen industry. And the job are going to be lost. But for me, I think, really, sometimes the way we are going with our natural resource as a Namibian, we are signing agreement which we know it's not only 2% people are going to benefit. The majority are left out. And we have this no slogan that nobody must be left out. But when we are signing it, we are signing for individually person. We know that it's only going to benefit in his family and the close friends. And this is a problem. Because when you see other countries, even like you talk about Libya. Libya, it was destroyed, but the people who benefited, European and American, they benefited. That's why you cannot go today to say, no, I want George Bush because of what he committed, or I want Tony Blair. People are coming for you. Because people have benefited out of that war. But Africa, we do it only for individual, like a president and his family. And also maybe president and the what? His cabinet only. And the majority are pulling in the what? In the pool of poverty. That is a problem I think we have in this African country. Because we don't. The problem is that I'm saying, no, guys, even like now, anything can happen in Africa because we are working in Osalo. We don't work like, yes, I'm doing it for our countrymen. I'm doing it because of my individual benefit, and the other party come to take those resources without the what benefiting of our own people. Really, I think it's a hard time for Africans to start negotiating to what is needed. Look now, you are talking about even like American embassy. We have a big, huge American embassy, and it's a big land, even they covered there. Maybe can we have even like 5 or 3 houses in that land. They build it now. We are finding ourselves going to South Africa because of what? To go for passport if you want to travel. And then we have a lot of students in studying in that American or want to go and study there. Just imagine now. You are from Henana or Congo there. And you've been accepted by Philadelphia University. Now, again, you have to go. Your father have to sell one of the escape or two for you to cover the cost of an airplane to fly to South Africa or transport. It was not supposed to be like that. What's so difficult for the American embassy to process the visa in Namibia? And when you're talking about even the visa, we don't have much people who were in America comparing to Canada or UK. What did it make Americans take their visa out of Namibia? And the problem is that when you're having the people who are having power to question, they are all quiet. That is the problem I think we find ourselves. Because the people who are not, you know, the people who are investing in our power, like a minister, they are having diplomatic passport. That's why they don't care. You see? And that's why I'm telling you that, which are in Africa, as long as we know we are benefiting, I don't care about the next person. That's why when they lost their position, is where you see them, they are complaining. Like now I'm talking to you. That's the only problem we have in Africa. The only complaint after they are not elected is where we can see they start even article every day in the newspaper or saying something. But like now, they are all quiet because they're having diplomatic passport. It's not really going to affect them. Master Franz, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You know, Master Franz, I think what we have to do as a Namibian. Especially when I come to our resource, guys, it's a hard time to process our own thing in Namibia. You cannot tell me every time we are sending only raw material. Okay, we've done well with diamond, where we are doing it in Namibia, processing it a bit here. But apart from that, nothing anymore. Everything we are sending out. That's the problem I think we have in apart, and also when it comes to like lithium, what's so difficult for us to say no? Set up a factory here where we are processing even battery and whatever to be done in Namibia. But we are sending those raw material to go to China. And when we come back, it's already a second hand, then we are paying more money to take it from the Chinese to come back. You see? And this is a problem I think we have in Namibia, where we are singing gold and we discover oil. And again, we are celebrating that oil is going to change our economy. How? If we are going, up to now, we are not even thinking of setting up what? A refinery. How is that going to contribute to us, even like me as a taxi driver? Is it going to change the oil if we are taking the crude oil to go to be processed somewhere and come back the way it is? It's not going to change anything. It's what I'm telling you, that no. In our, as a Namibian, we need to start thinking out of the box. Kuta, what if this person is telling us only for job creation? What kind of job creation is? We always just come to primary labor. What about secondary, where we involve a lot of people and the money, more money to stay in the country? We need to start doing what's supposed to be done. Because the problem which I think we are having in Namibia is that we are landing the country with the theory, and we are not going anywhere, Masala, France. That's all my take, which my point, which I want to contribute.
All right. Thank you very much. If we still have a lot of stories, so just keep listening. Okay. You can always come back to make comments on those stories.
All right, Master Franz.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, we continue. We continue. So, yeah, how do we talk about beneficiation when we don't have anything on the ground to process what we have? Like you're talking about, Mahangu can benefit us. Mahangu can benefit on you only when you cannot process Mahangu into flour. So if you cannot process Mahangu into flour, you will sell Mahangu grain. But flour is the one that has more value than grain. So you will sell grain to me, and then I make flour. Then you buy flour from me again. So which means you are buying your Mahangu back. So you are buying your Mahangu back in the form of a flour, because you sold grain to me, and then I processed it into flour. In fact, I did not just process it into flour. I'm also processing it into bread, and then you come and buy bread to me. Or you come and buy bread from me. So that already shows you that you that has grain has no capacity to make flour, and you cannot even have capacity to make bread out of that, you know, flour. And then you continue talking about you benefiting from, you know, Mahangu. How do you benefit from Mahangu when you can only sell grain? Okay. Now, here is becoming very interesting, the mismatch between the skills that the young people have and what is required by employers. Okay? The Namibian young people are facing difficulties with, you know, entering the labor market. And some people become, you know, overnight entrepreneurs just to survive. And this youth unemployment is entirely mostly blamed on government. Well, I will say this time we need to do 90% or maybe 50-50. 50% blame on government. Let me say government will have 30%, and another 30% will go to young people. And then 30% goes to parents. And then we share the 10% of blame. Now, here is why we are also not making it in business. Because our business, we set up business for us to survive. So we set up business so that we can survive. Now, somebody who is in a survival mode that person is even dangerous when it comes to winning tenders for government projects. Because this person is a survivor. He's not a business person. So that's why when I get that tender, I'm not thinking about investing the money into something else. Money.
Good morning, friends. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I hope you may recall or remember a song that used to be sung those days, see? That concerning Margaret Thatcher.
How Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret what? What's the name again?
Thatcher.
Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher. Thatcher.
Thatcher. Oh, Margaret Thatcher. Woo! Mimi. God forgive me, Robert. For
Kwanyama. It's you and Gabriel that are Kwanyamas. We don't have a sir in Kwanyama. So it's fine.
I have some difficulty in some of those names. So the philosophy they founded actually that this IMF. That yes, the African government must cut expenditure, public expenditure, meaning that you cut in the basic service that you are actually talking about. And that has been the philosophy in those years. We used to hear from our former president, founding father, let his soul rest in peace.
Oka kuruka joko. Don't make it touch.
It's because of those reforms that they were imposing to developing countries and many, many other nations that they should cut public expenditure. Wonder why do you have to cut the public expenditure? And the public is there to save their own people. So in terms of employment, she does not know that if you cut the public expenditure, then that means you are actually cutting bread, removing bread from the mouth of the people. And the services, the social services and all this other social amenity. So, and you know, I thought the rating this time around for us to avoid some of those preconditions imposed on us, and when people are unemployed and the social chaos and political chaos begins, that's when they want to take advantage. And they say, no, there is no good governance there is no what, and all these other things. And it's not good, because all these days I've been listening to the radio here, people talking about how unpatriotic they are. And they are even saying that, he heard from the president of South Africa, humanity actually begins in Africa. If we can speak with one voice, start revolting against some of those institution that were just established for their own benefit, not for our own benefit. So then you have to do something better. I even thought that during the Honorable Minister Sifeta, when you mentioned about this elephant task, I thought we stood our ground to sell our elephant task. I remember also that debate was alive here and many other platforms. That yes, and that the Federal was saying, no, we cannot be told on these things, we cannot. I did not know that they succumbed to that pressure.
No, they succumbed. They do not sell those tasks, they still have them.
So they are saying there that they need to generate some.
They were threatened that if they sell those tusks, they will not be a destination or tourist destination.
Even this time around, when they ranked Namibia as a, you know, is it first or equal to some of those Singapore and others, that is also very much attractive and is safe for tourism and many, many other areas that were rated favorable, good enough. So we also need to put our force to, we should also give them some preconditions into our negotiation terms and conditions when we bargain or negotiate for our own benefit. We can put some conditions. If we can speak with one voice, the only thing is that we don't speak with one voice. So now I heard of Zuma, who also gave a signatory for the no-fly zone and other things. So I did not know that there were other presidents who might have also put their signature there. Or they were just part of the thing, but they couldn't put their final signature for the invasion of Gaddafi, I mean Libya. I know of Zuma. And who else did that?
Yeah, there were a lot of African countries that signed that same.
Why is it only Zuma's name that comes in now, most of the time, in these discussions?
Because Zuma was part of the delegation that was supposed to have, you know, solved the Libyan issue, but then they were threatened by NATO not to get into Libya.
Yeah, I understand, because of our they can always threaten us because they are superpowers and all these other things, but then because they made us to become so vulnerable. They actually made us to become so vulnerable. Because of our resources they have been stealing, because of many, many things that they have been doing to us. So, hence, of course, we might not be powerful in terms of militarily, in terms of what, but we know we have the resources. If we can use the resources that we have, including the manpower. So I think we can do better and speak with one voice, well coordinated one. I think we can do better. So all other things that they are imposing. And we should also have our own institution. I thought we have our own institution now. Many countries are shying away from that thing and they are saying, no, we no longer want to be part and parcel of this rating because they are biased in their ratings. And most of the formula that they use are not appropriate, do not work here. GDP and all this other thing they use to determine whether people are getting some income in their countries. But many people don't get income. Into here. So I think it's just good that you say, let's speak with one voice, very strong ones, and coordinate ourselves and start giving them some condition and reform most of those institutions. Even if they don't want, at one point in time, they will definitely agree for some of those reforms. So thank you very much, Franz, for the opportunity that you have granted unto me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good.
All right, we continue. So if your quest to do business is to survive, and you get a tender to build even two classrooms, or you get a tender to renovate school, you are likely to default on those projects. You are also likely not to pay your workers, because the aim to establish that business, or you are on a survival mode, which means you are on a breathing aid. You know, circumstantially. That's why you find projects that are not done. Because the people that are getting those tenders are not business people. They are survivors. They are economic survivors. So if you're an economic survivor, everything you get, you are living from hand to mouth. Everything that you get gets into the mouth. You might default in certain products, in that project, because you might not deliver. And this is the type of business people we have almost in Namibia. That somebody who just got a tender to build a road somewhere, and that road is not finished, because that person no longer has money to continue. Number one, you don't have money, you blew it up in one go. Because our quest to do business is so that we may improve our standards, you know, so that I can buy a car or I can buy a house. So I'm doing business. But you are not establishing a business to grow the business. You are establishing a business so that immediately that business can grow you. And that is disastrous. Now, when you are talking about the need for skill development in young people, what are we really talking about? Because when you are talking about skills development in young people, that young people don't have skills that are required by employers in the job market. Are we hearing what we are talking about? Are we not pouring cold water on institutions of high learning that we have in this country? You know, because if somebody is graduated with a master's degree in something, and that person cannot be employable, then we have to look back and we have to find out what curriculum is being used to train these young people who cannot be employed at the end of the day after their graduation. When we establish institutions of high learning, are we in sync with the employers? Do we know what employers want? Or are we establishing institutions of higher learning for us to survive? So it seems that we are on a surviving mode here. Because how is it that people are graduating? Because these young people that you are talking about, 99% of them that cannot be employed, are people are just coming out of, you know, universities. In fact, I had a lot of some of the young people here that, well, they are from university, but really, when you know, sometimes you just wonder, where is this university? Is it somewhere in stratosphere or maybe somewhere in Mars? Because, you know, when somebody is saying you are studying media, and you need to be taught everything, including the basics that you are supposed to know, then something tells you that it is either the institutions of higher learning are the ones that are not, that are having a curriculum that is outdated, that doesn't speak to the current reality. So when we are talking about the need for skill development in young people, do we know that we are embarrassing universities where those young people are coming from? Because how is it that you went for a driving school and you fail the basic? The basics that you are supposed to know. You're supposed to know the basics. Or somebody is an Ashkwanyama teacher apparently, but you cannot even explain one proverb in Ashkwanyama, but you are the language teacher. So something is telling you that it is either the curriculum that is being used in training is the one that should be scrutinized. Who is checking what these young people are learning or what the institutions of higher learning are teaching? Who is overseeing the educational, you know, environment, the education environment in this country? Who is looking at that? That also cuts into the Ministry of Education. Because that's why I'm saying the government is not in order when it comes to, as far as talking, you know, speaking one language. The government is speaking in many languages. It is disoriented. That is a word that I don't know how to pronounce. The government is disintegrated. There is no harmony. Ministry of Agriculture is doing its own thing. And even people that are starting to be agricultural science. Does the Minister of Agriculture have an official that oversees who is studying what concerning their ministry? Not long ago we were talking about nurses, 2,600 nurses that would not make it. They could not get a license or certificate to be nurses. And we are talking about every college that comes up now, they have nursing. Every college is doing nursing. But you have such number of nurses that fail. Somebody say, okay, you are going to India to study at a certain college, you come back and you fail exam. You know, you fail the exam, you went to study to be a doctor. You come back, you fail exam. You are not a doctor. Which means it is requiring you to do what? To go back again. So Namibians keep studying. They keep studying. But study seems not to produce result. Why? You know, the mistake that the government made in 1991 was the government, you know, around the 1990s, I grew up that time, early 90s, when manual work was part of the curriculum. where students were taught, you know, needlework, woodwork. They used to carve a lot of things out of wood. I found that, you know, young student, they carving canoes and they make traditional cups. They make all that. It used to be, and the government came to say, no, manual work is corporal punishment. It must end. And then we went all in into theory. Now, Namibians are good at theory. And now when it comes to practical, you study media. Okay, fine. Come, make a report. You know, give us a report on this. Here is a mic. That person will do nothing because all they have is theory in their head. They don't have the practical knowledge. No wonder they cannot be employed because the person is given a job and they don't know where to start. But they went to study that very thing or for the very same field. You said you are a computer scientist. Okay, here is the work. The person doesn't know where to start. How are you a computer scientist? How did you get a master's degree when you cannot practice the very thing that you went to study for? And employers or companies were not established to come and become charity organizations. These are companies that want profit. And they don't have time to waste training against somebody who is supposed to know their jobs. So that's why a lot of companies are asking for 5-year experience. Because they don't have time to come and train you. You are supposed to know. And everyone is fighting to say, no, companies must stop asking for 5-year experience because we have people that graduated. And now you are also talking about the need for skill development in young people. What are you talking about? Where is that skill going to come from? Who is going to develop skills in young people when universities are there? So that's why I'm saying economists are talking, government officials are talking, but it seems they don't know what they are talking about. Because you cannot have universities. You cannot have graduates. And then at the same time, turn back and talk about needs for skill development in the same young people. Where three months ago, you were celebrating about a girl child being at the forefront of education. And this girl child, given a job, she cannot perform. What are you guys talking about? So what are you guys talking about? This is pouring cold water on all universities. Because if you are talking about need for skill development on a young person that just graduated, what are you talking about? You are saying the universities are useless. That's what you are saying. You are talking about, you are saying your education system in Namibia is useless. If you are telling a 50-year-old man to say, grow up, what do you mean? What are you saying? You are saying this is a truck with a donkey Botswana engine. That's what you are saying to the Tate. You are telling him that he is a truck, very big truck. But the engine that is in that truck is a donkey Botswana engine. And I don't know whether it will go well with you from there. So we are saying indirectly that the education system in Namibia is useless. Because you are saying there is a need for skill development in graduates. That's why many of them are resorting to entrepreneurship to survive. And we think we are talking. We are not talking. We are embarrassing universities. And this is not just an embarrassment to universities. It's an embarrassment to the entire Ministry of Education itself. Because it seems that the education system is not in sync with the employment reality, or, you know, with a labor market reality. Now, the question is, what are you teaching? What are you teaching the kids? Because, in fact, if it was not for the government that came in to, you know, to pay to declare tertiary education free, where tuition is no longer paid, parents would have been paying tuition fee to every college now. But for what? We are paying money for children to go to school so that they can come and be useless and create business for them to survive. And then we are saying we have a Ministry of Education that has the highest budget. The budget for what? When universities are increasing the fees, you are increasing the fees for what? You have a master's degree in English, but you cannot speak English. We are going for a short break and we return, because we need to look at what we are saying versus the meaning, because it seems that we only speak but we don't understand what we are saying. In fact, we don't know the meaning of what we are saying.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Kalu noka tutu ke pena noka kwadike mbapila opa udidike.
Yo sina ngondo ni fendera yo mbonu ngo mbonu mbosho. Yo upo mwana ngondo wacha amone kwa fe mbadwe ka no yo. Mosimaro amo mosimaro simbra si ke pangelo asi penya no. Mona de na 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 ngiro pa ngondo ngwe fanga ngondo esimo poga opo.
Ni fendera ye gumbo kumvura. Nengo kandingo shokombula. Nzono ahai kombele, nzono ifendera. To fendere shashitorongi sehara, pehajerero. Yehara, omu ashikerero talivuro kumono, okathiringa kukwatera pombele wanji ya. Shoshu imaru wa mzono ahai ukirira kombele wa hoshirongo.
Kana nakuendela pa mwono programa kusamosha, one mbaishivo. Kumanda hafiyo titano, kukujapono nongongula, fiyo petata nongongo nambali. Alright, we continue. So, do we know the meaning of what we are saying? Just like I was telling you, Namibia Planning Commission, it was behind the drafting of the NDP-6. But they still go and stand up and on a platform and they are saying they are going to decarbonize. Decarbonize, that means no oil and gas. Because oil and gas are responsible for carbon. Now, The Bank of Namibia is having a seminar and is talking about oil and gas. Well, Namibia Planning Commission is talking about decarbonizing. You are celebrating a girl child being at the forefront of education, taking education serious, and here you are talking again, you are saying there is a need for skill development in young people who just graduated. Guys, what brand of onions do we eat? It seems we are talking, but we are not hearing it seems we are talking just for the sake of speaking. We just make speeches. You know, we are making speeches for the sake of talking. But we are not in sync. It seems we are not in sync of, we are not in sync with the meaning of what we are saying. Because if I was a minister of education, hearing this, it was not going to sit well with me. Because number one, if you are talking about young people graduating and they cannot be employed, that is not a cheap statement. That's a very expensive statement, because that brings the entire Ministry of Education into question. And in fact, it brings the entire education fraternity into question, that what are you guys teaching the people? You know? What are you people teaching the people? What are you teaching the kids? What are you teaching the young people? That's bringing us to too much theory. We went in theory. We deprived the young people practical skills. Because we want to become so-called internationally obedient to the so-called international human right, whatever. Nobody eats human right. In fact, the people that used to make noise on human rights are quiet now because their fund is dead. That is to show you that human right, 90% of it is just noise. It's not reality. So many that used to talk about human right, what. Trump has closed the tap. And everyone now is quiet. Until somebody will come maybe in 5 years to come with the Democrats, that's going to open. That's when you will start hearing, you know, lectures on human rights, because now there is a fund. So, there were practical skills at the beginning, in the 90s. And if we could have continued with that, our young people would be most of them employable by that time, because our education was going to be both practical and theory. Now you have a lot of theory. Somebody with a lecture on agriculture who cannot even come up with a garden. You see, somebody cannot even plant an onion. Apparently, he's an expert in food production. We are chasing wind, and I don't know whether we are going to catch it. So we are shooting in the air. That's why our people cannot be employed. And this must speak volume to our education, to say our education, I mean, we are the ones that are saying it. No, I'm not the one. You are saying it. Because if you are saying that people graduate and they cannot be employable, you are saying your education is useless. Okay? You are saying your education is useless. When you are saying there is a need for skill development in young people who just graduated, it's like we are telling a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old started to grow up. Because when you are telling a 60-year-old tate to say, "Sir, please grow up," you mean he is a big truck with a donkey Botswana engine. That's what you mean. So our Namibian education is a very big truck. But the engine that is in that truck is an engine of a sedan. So it is either the engine that will burn or the entire truck will be in ashes very soon. So everyone setting up colleges here. Does the Namibian Qualification Authority or Namibia Training Authority, do they have officials that go around these colleges and institutions of high learning to say, "Guys, what you are teaching your kids, what you are teaching your students is not in sync with the labor market or the Ministry of Labor itself"? Does it have officials on the ground that should go into institutions of high learning to say what you are teaching, this type of training will not lend anybody a job? Who is advising these colleges? And who is allowing everyone to set up a college? Because there must be a law. There must be certain criteria to say a college can only be a college if A, B, C, D is met. We check your curriculum. We check everything. Even private schools. That's why you see people coming from the so-called best private, you know, schools and come and fail miserably in universities. What happens when they were the best up down there? So there's a need for the Ministry of Education, Ministry of Labor. And then they work together to say we need to come up with a, because the problem we have is the data that is in Ministry of Labor is different from the data that is within the Ministry of Education. The data that is within Home Affairs differs from the data that is, you know, that's the same. We don't have one database. We are disintegrated.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mL Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katutura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo teto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right. We continue. I just wanted to hammer on this so that we know what we are talking about. We are busy insulting ourselves and we think we are just making statements. We continue insulting ourselves or embarrassing ourselves with the statements that we make. You can't celebrate, education is a key to success. And I listen to a lot of officials when they talk on graduations that now your future is open. Okay. After 3 days, the same person that was talking about future open is complaining about need for skill development in the same young people whose future is open. What are you talking about? That's the reason why we get into shape, because we make statements that we don't even believe in, those statements that we make. Or we don't even understand what we are talking about. And I want to prove to you that government officials make statements they don't understand. Not long time ago, the Ministry of Home Affairs and Safety and Security, with the electronic ID, and the electronic ID, the government will electronic ID, the government will not win this war. Because the people that are talking against the electronic ID have more tangible information that they are giving to their people who are listening to them than what the government is having, than what the government has so far. Because those people are connecting real dots. They are using information that is in the public domain, whether it is true or not, to connect the dots. And what they are saying makes more sense than what the government is trying to say to counter them. That the government have the right information to counter these people, it seems not. Because I met a government official And he was talking about, he was saying, no, you know, people are saying the electronic ID is a mark of the beast. So that's not true. It's not a mark of the beast. Then I asked him, do you know what the mark of the beast is? And he said, no, I don't know. I said, how are you saying it is not the mark of the beast when you don't know what the mark of the beast is? So the government officials in the Ministry of Safety and Security or Home Affairs don't know what the mark of the beast is. And that's complicated the whole situation. So even if they are to make a campaign and inform people, what are they saying? Because if one person rises in that meeting and raises a question and asks a government official, and the government official fails to answer that question, that is going to prove to you that what those so-called conspiracy theorists are saying is true. You know, the government can have correct information. They can have true information, but the government lacks capacity in presenting that information. That is what makes it difficult. During COVID-19, there were fundamental questions, basic questions that the government could not have answers. The government did not have answers for simple, basic questions. That is what made the other group, the so-called anti-vaxxers. It made it easier for people to refuse the vaccine because the government could not answer questions. And then the government, what they did, they resorted to threats. Because the moment you start making threats, it means you have lost the information war. Because when you have enough information, you don't resort to anger. The moment you start to resort to anger, it means you don't have information. So, but if I have to stand and tell you that the electronic ID that is going on now is not the mark of the beast, it's because I know what the mark of the beast is. So, we are good at making statements, but it seems we don't understand the statements we are making. Now, when the minister is saying, electronic IDs are not the mark of the beast, does the minister know what the mark of the beast is? If the minister does not know what the mark of the beast is, then their method of communicating will not work. Because those people that are spreading misinformation on electronic ID, they are armed with information. And that is what they are using to explain why people should not take the electronic ID. Now, it is up to government officials to tap into that information that those people have and understand every dot and understand every misinterpretation of scriptures and then come back with a correct version to say, no, the electronic ID is this and this and this, not this and that and that. You are saying you will do that from the understanding. Understand what the conspiracy is. Because if you don't understand what the conspiracy is, you are not able to counter it. You are countering because you are government. You think because you are government, people will listen to you. They already did not listen during COVID-19. And to make it worse now, they will not even listen because there are a lot of things that government is doing that is helping everyone with the conspiracies to connect the dots. So how is, you know, I've taken here a little bit far now, but I just want to prove, I just wanted to prove a point that we talk, we make statements, but we don't understand. Another example I'll give you is that the Minister of Works and Transport made a statement some months ago, and he said Fly Namibia must reduce their prices. You know, air ticket, the prices of the air ticket. If not, the minister will make a decision. That was a bold statement. It was a bold, powerful political statement. But the minister was not aware. The minister was short of one thing. You know, the minister was speaking from a position of power, but not from the position of knowledge. Because the minister wants to kill Fly Namibia to the ground. Because does the minister know how many people fly from here to Ondangwa versus people who fly from here to South Africa? That is a knowledge that he didn't have. Because if he had that knowledge, he would understood, he would have understood that the demand for air ticket from here to Ondangwa is lower. You cannot compare the Ondangwa price with South Africa. That comparison was wrong. It was correct from on a moral point of view, but not from an economic point of view. Because how many people did you, how many people can fly from here to Ondangwa? We are squeezing ourselves in seven seaters. And, you know, whatever form of transport is available for us to afford to go to the north. And when Air Namibia closed down, we complained. But none of us have ever flown in Air Namibia. You want Air Namibia to continue serving who when you don't use those services? So sometimes we talk and we don't understand what you are talking about. We are just talking. We are just complaining. The minister is just talking, saying if he doesn't, if Fly Namibia does not, then the minister will make a decision. What decision? Look, you need to understand the demand versus supply. If demand is low, you will, the other person will be forced to increase the price. But if all of us as, if all of us start to fly from here to Ondangwa, you will see that the price will go down because supply, demand will be higher. None of us are using those services, but we are quick to complain when those services close down. So when we are talking about youth unemployment, and we are equating, we are blaming it on skills, then we are saying that our education is useless. That is where I wanted to stress the point. And I brought many examples to just show you that sometimes we make statements just for the sake of making statements. But 083-238-401, I might be wrong. That's why we open the lines that you come in. This is not a church where you sit in and the pastor preaches and you go home without no questions. You can come back and ask questions or make your own comment. At least if it is a, maybe it's a Bible study, because in a Bible study you ask questions. or Sunday school. But this is Monday school. So, when we say skills, there is a need for skills. That means we are saying our education is useless. And now, we also form businesses. We register businesses. We are not creating businesses in order to bring, you know, services to people. We are creating businesses so that we can survive. So, and the moment you get money, you only think about yourself. You don't think about the business. It's okay, this is business money. Maybe I can take one or two hundreds to just maybe buy myself one or two things. But the entire money will go because you want to survive. But we also don't know how to survive. Because if you see somebody buying an Amarok in their first tender, it is your first tender and you already want to buy an Amarok, then that already means you don't know how to survive. So it means you don't know how to survive. It's like somebody begging in the street. The reason why I stopped giving money to those people is because one day we bought food for one person. And that person even started insulting us for buying him food because he wanted us to give him the money. But if you are saying you are hungry and I'm going into the shop, I'll say, okay, wait, I'll buy for you something. And you say, you don't need food, you need money. Then it is either you are using money for something else. So we don't know how to survive. That's why we buy Amaroks and expensive cars, just your first tender. Because the motive behind establishing businesses is wrong. And we cannot even use this as a sympathetic statement or as a statement to express sympathy. I think we must be embarrassed that we are busy establishing businesses with wrong motives. That's when people need to be taught what business is, what being an entrepreneur is. Because we are putting unemployment, we are giving it so much respect, as if it were some god, that people must just lose it. Yeah, because people are unemployed, it's poverty. People must just do things. Apparently it's poverty. And we are using poverty to justify certain mentalities. And we are using, you know, unemployment to justify why certain people behave this way. It's because of unemployment. You see? It's like when you are dealing with the issues of gender. When women can say anything about men, and when a man says something about women, apparently is misogyny. So it is those things. Those things that are preventing us from moving on. Because we justify wrong mentalities. Establish a business so that you can bring solutions to the community. And through doing that, That's when you survive. Survival must be the last thing. But the moment you put survival ahead to be the main reason why you are establishing a business, then you have already lost it. Now let's go for a short break, but don't forget the number in studio is 083-288-401. That's a number. Where do we go from here? What can we do? What can we do to help these young people that are graduating and they don't have jobs because the labor market cannot absorb them because their skills are not in sync with what is required in the job market? What can we do to help them? What can the government do? How do we improve our education system? Those people that are in the education sector, what can we do? What should we introduce? Should we bring back that manual work in the 90s? Or how do we go from here?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. We continue. Yeah, so the stories that we dealt with so far are that the economic professors are saying Namibia, it is only oil that is able to bring that is able to bring economic beneficiation. It's only oil. Okay, so Namibia is also making stripes in medical biochemistry. And medical biotechnology. And we have our first genomic sequencing at NAST, which means, it's going to cut cost on, overseas. The overseas DNA testing. So, NAST has installed the genome, sequencing platform, and which is going to reduce the time and cost as far as DNA test is concerned. Which is a good news. because DNA test, you know, pending DNA result, most of police investigations, you know, take long, because by the time the DNA comes, the person has stayed long in prison, and that person was accused of, for example, the people that were accused of rape. The people that were, they were accused of rape, by the time the DNA came and the government find out there is no evidence, it's not the person, the results are not matching, the person has already been in prison for a long time. So we hope this one will change the situation. We'll hope the DNA or genome sequencing now in whatever this genome technology or the biotechnology itself or the biochemistry technology will do justice. While we are talking about DNA, there were calls that men should be allowed to, you know, have DNA test to determine whether or not they are the fathers of the children. And women don't want that. So most people, most women came up to say, whoa, no. Because that will expose a lot of things. Because there are some women that are using children as economic, you know, as economic channels to say you are the father. Well, the person is not the father. The real father may not be in any economic position. So we hope it becomes an act of parliament. But we leave it there. I don't want to really get into the story of DNA. It's not the story of interest, but you can go and read it for yourself. You can go and read it for yourself. You can go and read it for yourself. It is a story that is written by Penny Ambeko, Jonas. You must go and read that story. And, you know, read it for yourself. The news that is also trending, is that, you know, the CEOs, the executive directors, especially the CEOs of, you know, the state-owned enterprises, are saying they are being threatened by young ministers. That's how they put it, that young ministers are threatening them. And they are saying, you know, remember, I am your minister. So which means that the young ministers are flexing. There is an issue when it comes to CEOs, especially of you know, state-owned enterprises. That's why state-owned enterprises are not performing. Because CEOs of those enterprises become mini gods. Like they are mini presidents. They cannot be, you know, they cannot be challenged. They cannot be told what to do. It's the same thing with the CEOs of town councils. And one example of that was the chaos that was in the Katima Town Council until the entire town, until the town council was dissolved. So there's kind of like friction between the appointing authority and the appointees, where ministers want certain things to be done a certain way, and CEOs are refusing, or board members. Sometimes you have a problem between the minister and board members. But sometimes ministers can be wrong. You know, ministers can make a wrong decision, and they can enforce it.
Limonene akulolo internet yendelela to iturirwa moshari. Ove to kupithanata ngoshimaruwa shifike pedola dana mibio maweja varini na mathele eri atano. Okujame fikula tetela aguste fio mama fukwedo milongo natuwa September. Itokapulo ufuto shimaruwa shonumba okuturirwa mwe akulolo engenge o elishangifo kontrakta keshe yo Peratus Fiber ile Skyfi. Oto turirwa mwe akulolo ripelo internet. Kupitha fio pedola dana mibio maweja varini na mathele eri atano. Omeumbo ilo monge shefa e akulo only nongushu. Talela po peratus.africa/Namibia. Nde toli shangifanena. Always, always.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, so sometimes a minister can make a wrong decision and can give a directive that decision must be implemented. Then the CEOs and the board can say, no, this will not work. And there can be frictions. So sometimes the board can also be in the wrong. And you are told not to go ahead with that agreement. But the board members can also be, you know, they can also be unwilling to listen to the minister's directive. So there can be abuse of power on both sides. And abuse of power is one of the major examples of the abuse of power, or maybe the use of a certain, or the invocation of a certain act of parliament or certain section in the act, maybe the misunderstanding of it, one of it resulted into the use of the EVM in 2014 and 2019 respectively, until it was challenged. Then it was found that the minister misunderstood or misused his power with the act. Okay? So sometimes the minister can be in the wrong, and sometimes the board can also be in the wrong. Like what we heard, the minister was saying, please do not renew the contract of the CEO, the Rundu CEO and Katima CEO. Their contract should not be renewed. unless there are tangible reports and results of the success they've made. So if no success, if no, they must not be renewed. And I think it's a Namibian airport company which had some board members, you know, that were suspended by the Minister of Works, and now they want to appeal that to the president. So, because there is some frictions on the issue of, you know, how the airport company should run. And while we are there, the shadow minister of Works and Transport, IPC shadow minister, is Nelson Kalangula, is asking for a comprehensive report on the, you know, the issuance of the license of, you know, Namib Air, whether Namib Air has, you know, qualified crew, or whether they have met all the standards that are required, because the fear is having a scenario again of Air Namibia, you know, repeating itself, having history repeating itself. That's a fear among many parliamentarians and many, you know, skeptics. That are we not going to see Air Namibia stories or scenario repeating itself? But according to this, you know, news, Namib Air will start their first flight on the 1st of December. They have been given the license to acquire the aircraft. Remember, they were saying they would buy, you know, 7 aircrafts. That's, of course, of the millions worth 600 million. So they have been given that license. So, and very soon they will be given another, the last license to now operate fully. Yeah, having said that, the minister can be correct, and they can push, he can push for something, but the others, you know, the board, the executive directors, or in fact, most especially the CEOs of, can say, no, we are not going to do that. Like what we said, we saw when the Minister of Eben was talking about the Red Force. Therefore, the town councils and municipalities not to renew, you know, Red Force contracts. So other town councils, CEOs were fighting to say they are not going to listen to that. And the person that was most vocal on that issue was the CEO of the Katima Mlilo Town Council. He said they were not going to listen to that. Okay? And that landed the CEO into the dustbin of history. Because ministers also have the appointing authority, which is the president. And if you don't listen to the president, what he says, whether or not the president is wrong or correct, you will find yourself in a political dustbin. You will find yourself in a political dustbin because you don't listen. And that process, in as much as it's good, it also robs the nation of, you know, people that are capable, because it could be that the person that was fired is a capable and a person that was improving that organization. It could be that the minister could have been wrong to a certain extent. But that's what happens. So it is 21 minutes, 22 minutes to 9. At 9 o'clock, I will be out of here. So the question still remains, what should be done to the young people? What skills should we have that should make people, young people, employable when they come out of, you know, the university? How do we make them employable? Because sometimes we say they are unemployed. Is it the employment that is not there, or is it the skills that are not in sync with what is required in the labor market? So, if you want to say, you want to make a comment, you want to make a contribution, the number in studio is 083-288-401. 083-288-401. That's a number in studio if you want to say, you want to make a contribution. We still have ample time. We still have 20 minutes. And I can give you at least some minutes from those 20 minutes. So our mentality when it comes to education, the way we understand education, is also wrong. Because people were told that education is a key to success. And now, we have a lot of people that are educated and they are not successful. Now, when we talk about success, what do we really mean when we say it's a key to success? To what success? Yes.
Yes, Dr. France.
Yes.
Morning once again.
Yes, morning once again.
Yeah. Master France, when it comes to employment in Namibia, I think somehow our curriculum when it comes to education is really not speaking to the job market, the industry when it's there. Look, now we are talking about even green hydrogen, oil and gas, but if you look what our education, special institution, when they are offering, they are not catering even that industry. You go to now, even if you go to NAS, you go to VTC, there's no program targeting those oil and gas, all green hydrogen project. But now you wonder, if we're having these things which are happening in our country, why we cannot introduce those courses in our curriculum to target the industry which we are heading? The problem, I think, is sometimes the way we are being educated, we are just proving maybe what we used to know, but the world and the, when you look at the world, the way they are moving, you talk about even AI, we are not even graduating people when it comes to technology, more advanced the way we are about computer and everything. People are talking about a lot of things. You are talking about NAS. It's about what? University of Technology and what? But if you go there, they are the most people who are having what? One network. But we are graduating people every month and every year. But if you go there now, my friend, it will be like the internet are slow. And the one now, when we are graduating, these people, where they go to work? Instead of some of them, maybe I think university is supposed to keep them off, where they are introducing new program when it comes to technology and growing to the economy. But we are not really. We are far too, so much behind. When we always waiting for until we are not catching up with the world. That's why we are so much behind when it comes to a lot of things. But serious, I think when it comes to oil and gas, we're supposed to do something. Look, you go to university now. There are not even people who are very educated when it comes to wind mine. But when you look at the green hydrogen, mostly product which they are going to use is wind mine. And we need those people who are experts in that area. But we're just waiting for the Germans to send their experts to come and do. Instead of us, maybe if we don't have enough instructor who can instruct people to how to build a windmill and what to fix them, why we cannot even bring the expert from the Germany to educate our people? You talk about the oil and gas, but if you look in our school, we are not even offering those courses. Or we are not even sending our people to go to maybe like an Indian university where they can be educated when it comes to oil. So somehow, really, I think we are really feeding the nation with what long information our people are going to graduate. That's why we are so many looming nurses and the teachers. Because maybe it's the easiest for our students. But I think really we need to introduce those some course where we are even saying no. It's only number of 20, maybe like 20 people who are going to be educated for teachers or nurses, because we are having a lot of people in the what who are not getting improvements. Why cannot cost cut those students who are applying for, so we can force them to start something with you? We know that is the one way forward with we are looking for. Like a green hydrogen in oil.
Yeah.
Somehow I think we are. The problem is that our education and industry, we are working in shallow. We are already not communicating what is needed. And that is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Master Flores.
Mm.
We are listening.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. So if people are talking about oil and gas, who is studying oil and gas with a university of what in Namibia? And then you want to say young people must take part in oil and gas is what? They are going to play what role when they don't know where to come in? Because the person did not do oil and gas. There is no course yet on oil and gas or green hydrogen. People are still doing those old, courses. But let's go for a short break, and then we come back and, finish off. But if you also want to say something, you can also come through. The number in studio is as usual, 0832-888-401. That's the number in studio.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083
288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, it is 11 minutes to 9. Monday morning, it was very cold today. When I walked out, when I stepped out of the house around, you know, to 5. It was very cold. It was there was much wind, and it was very cold wind. And when I came here, all of a sudden started warming up. But they've been warning that they shall be cold for the next 2 days. I think maybe it is today and tomorrow. I think winter is trying to say its goodbyes. Winter is trying to say its goodbyes. We are already in the second week of, we are in the second week of August. That is, of course, finishing on the 15th. And the 15th, we are getting into the third week, which finishes on the 22nd. And then 22nd, we get into the fourth week, which finishes, of course, on the 29th. And then we have two bonus days, like the 31st, you know, 30th and 31st. And then from there, we say goodbye once and for all. We say goodbye to winter. Then we enter into summer, when it is going to be very hot. And I'm sure most of you will say you miss winter. So you miss winter because summer will be summering. You know, summer will be summering. Right, so to finish off, we can say that, you know, Africa needs to have a voice that is reliable so that people can respect us. We need to be consistent. Are we pursuing oil and gas or green hydrogen? Or are we pursuing both? Can we have both? Because if you are saying we are going to decarbonize and at the same time we are saying we are going to pursue oil and gas, we don't know what you are talking about. And then we come to say, you know, young people must have the correct skills. So the Namibia Qualification Authority, Namibia Training Authority, and you know, all in the education fraternity, you need to sit and agree and involve the Namibian Employers Federation. You know, you need to sit and agree to say, what do we need in the economy, in the job market? The Ministry of Labor must come and must also make, you know, you need to have a seminar with institutions of high learning. To tell them what is required of a young person as far as the job market is concerned. What are the skills that are needed? So that people may not graduate and then look for a job by the time they are graduating, that skill is no longer relevant. Because people have irrelevant, you know, qualifications. The people went to study, but when they come back, they find out that the thing they went to study for is no longer the push in the job market. It's no longer what pushes the job market. So that requires another study again. That I'm going to study again. That this course is discontinued, or the type of skills that I have is not in sync with what is required. By the time you come back, you also find out that what you went to study for is no longer relevant. So what needs to be done? Do they need on-job skill, you know, training? So do you need to do on-job training or not? So do companies have time to train you when you are supposed to just start work and you know, and make and bring revenue to the company? Do companies have time to even train you? So that is what we are talking about. That maybe we should also say, we should also cap. Some people are saying we should cap colleges. No more college must no more college, you know, no more college, no more establishing college or university. But we can't do that because this is a mixed economy. In a mixed economy, your control is limited on how you interfere in, you know, how corporate companies are established or how they behave. Maybe what needs to be done is the Ministry of Health, when it comes to nursing, and then Ministry of Education, Health, you know, the Ministry of Labor, and all those, you know, qualification authorities, all the regulating authorities need to come together and draft a paper that should be used in all universities. They need to come up with a curriculum to say, we want the students to study this. We want them to be taught this because this is what we see that is on demand. At a job, as far as the job market is concerned. So that is what we need to do. We just need to tell we just need to come up with a curriculum. At least one doctrine. There should be one doctrine to the definition as to who is a nurse. To the definition as to who is an engineer, who is a technical person. If we have that definition, we will know whether the people are meeting the criteria that we are setting or whether the people are off the hook. We will know because we have a well-defined, curriculum. We have everything well outlined. We know that we need this type of skills. We need this type of skills, and every person that has a company must also have a say to say we need this type of skilled people. We need people that are skilled in these areas, in these areas, in these areas. What are the areas of focus? What does Namibia seek to achieve? Namibia seems not to know what they want. They just want educated people. But does educated people alone, educated people alone, graduating alone is not a guarantee that you'll have a job. You still have to go through interviews and you become a job seeker. You become a job seeker, and when you are employed, there is no guarantee that you are going to perform until you start performing. That's when people see that, oh, this is a skilled person we needed. Because qualification without practical skills is nothing but problematic. All right, this is where we end it for today. And have a good morning. Have the rest of the good morning, blessed in the whole day until we meet again tomorrow morning, same time, same frequency. Stay tuned for the next programs.